Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Man, we got a lot to get to, huh? Cowboys stink. Texans stink. Patriots stink. Woo! Chargers, kind of stinky, to be quite honest with you. Rams, good. Although I will guarantee right now, I have a pick that I have been sitting on all year, and though Sunday would lead you to believe that you should stay away from the pick, it actually reinvigorates this pick. It is a first you are welcome pick of the year. Welcome in, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Woo! Do we got a lot to get to? Man. You know what I get tired of? I get tired of people saying, and you probably are like this, well, we do it that way because that's the way we've always done it, right? Don't you get tired of that? You know, listen, we'd love to change, but this is the way we've always done it. Times change. Viewing habits change. Listening habits change. We're an evolve or die world. And I think it's amazing what's happening in the National Football League. The machismo of the past, the machismo of the sport, does not allow some to evolve within the sport. And I can point to Clay Matthews and Jimmy Garoppolo as both helping make my point. Jimmy Garoppolo hurt, torn ACL, probable MCL, MRI today, out for the year. Clay Matthews, second straight game with a really, really hurtful roughing the passer call because he used his weight in some level and landed on the quarterback. This time it happened against Alex Smith. Here's Clay Matthews after the game on the roughing call.
And I think a lot of people don't like, you know, I think they're getting soft. And, you know, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to keep playing hard. You know, maybe now pass rushers, guys getting after quarterback, you just have to attack the ball, which is, you know, I've been playing this game for over 20 years. That's how you tackle. So we'll see. I mean, you know, something's got to change because, you know, the league's not.
Yeah, here's the thing. Clay Matthews' hits both the past 2 weeks were textbook tackles on the quarterback. The thing about those textbooks are they're no longer being used in school. Look, they don't teach cursive in most schools. Why would you teach cursive when kids aren't going to write stuff anyway? Everybody just types things. The textbooks that kids use now are, a lot of them are just available online. And this is like, the newspaper industry. Do you know ultimately was the downfall of the newspaper industry? Obviously, people say the internet, but that's because they think it's you can get news from some places for free on the internet, and that's part of the story. The reason that newspapers became less valuable resources for information wasn't the quality of print journalism. No, it was not. It was because of the classified ads. That's what happened. Classified ads. When you used to need something, hire somebody, buy something, trade something, you'd go to the classified ads. This is in the back of the classified section or sometimes the business section in a newspaper. Then Craigslist, among other things, and eBay came along, and there was no longer a need for the classified ads. There was no longer that automatic income. And with people not putting ads there, there wasn't the same readership. When the readership went down, the ability to generate sponsorship dollars or ad dollars went down as well. people read just as much as they used to. They just get their information from different places. A lot of us in the media, we use Twitter not just to converse with you and you and you, but instead as a news feed. And the second you click on something that's behind a paywall, you're like, eh, I'll find the story somewhere it's free, correct? And that's where clever organizations that got out of ahead of it, knew how to sell digital stuff, knew how to funnel traffic to their digital site, and charged based upon the number of views, which of course has given birth to some of these aggregate sites that don't actually write anything. They just find clever stories and then put a link on their site. You go to their website, you click on the link, and they get credit for somebody else's work. The point is that the media is not going away. It's just evolving. Textbooks aren't going away. They're just evolving. They're changing. The way we look at stories of the past continues to evolve. The way we talk about the dynamics of different pre-World War II, post-World War II conflicts has changed. If you're in a school district where they're using the same textbook as when we were kids, you're probably alarmed and you're probably going to your board of education saying, we need new textbooks. And that's what the NFL is doing. I'm not saying what Clay Matthews did the last 2 weeks over the last 30 years in the National Football League aren't characterized as clean, good football tackle hits. They are. Absolutely are. The problem with it, though, is that the textbooks have changed. I was sitting next to a buddy on Saturday night, and we were watching Oregon's choke job against Stanford. That was a choke job. They simply take a knee or hold on to the football. They beat Stanford instead. Stanford comes back and beats them. Miraculous comeback at Autzen Stadium. We will talk a lot of college football, most of it tomorrow. Mark Schlereth's going to join us upcoming in 20 minutes. The biggest upset of the weekend was by Old Dominion, who started the year losing to Liberty 52-10, just beat Virginia Tech by 2 touchdowns. I'll also talk some Tiger Woods, and we'll talk some Cliff Kingsbury, Texas Tech head coach, had probably, I think, the biggest road win of the year in college football, and they beat Oklahoma State, Boone Pickens Stadium, his first win over Oklahoma State as head coach, Texas Tech. So we got some college football to talk about. We're watching, and he said, you know, Ford is only going to sell 2 cars in 5 years. I was like, what do you mean? It's like, well, they're going to sell trucks, they're going to sell SUVs, but they're going to sell a Focus, and they're going to sell a Mustang. Nothing else. Why is that? Because the textbooks for how you make money as an automobile maker in the United States have changed. People are still buying automobiles. They're just not buying cars. They're buying trucks. They're buying things that are considered SUVs or super gas saving, some sort of bubble where you can almost run it back 3 times in a row and then it goes forward. You need something electric, you need a truck, you need an SUV. That's what you really need to make money as an automobile. And they're sticking with the Mustang only because they're Ford. They got to make the Mustang. Kind of thing they got to do. So you can sit here and tell me those are textbook tackles, and I'll just tell you the textbook has changed. And what happens, the spinoff from it is people start to claim that there's safety involved in avoiding these type of tackles. Take Adam Gase, who said this about William Hayes' injury.
William Hayes will be out for the season. He tore his ACL on that sack. He was trying to not put body weight on the quarterback, so his foot got caught in the ground.
So you think the rule?
Just telling you what happened.
Look, I think Adam Gase has done an outstanding job with the Miami Dolphins. They're 3-0. They came from behind again and beat the Oakland Raiders in Miami this past weekend. But this goes along with the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, right? What Jimmy Garoppolo was doing, he could have just gone out of bounds. But Jimmy Garoppolo signed the biggest contract anybody had ever seen, and he was just trying to show, hey, I'm a football player making a football play, trying to show my team that I'm tough. That dated philosophy is going the way of the dodo, just like the dated philosophy of wrap up, tackle a guy, put him into the ground, and put your weight on him. And if he gets hurt, oh well. If Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, oh well. Here's the thing. Jimmy Garoppolo is so valuable, makes so much money, that the Niners season is effectively over. And the truth is that much like William Hayes, if your knee tears because you plant it the wrong way, running full speed with no one else hitting it, the likelihood is it probably would have torn anyway. That your knee or leg probably wasn't all that sound. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, he just planted and cut and his knee blew out. My guess is that there was some sort of weakness in that knee before that play, and blowing it out is more of a symptom of that weakness. But instead of football being under attack and I can't believe these rules and we're making the NFL soft, look, the NFL and their evolution of rules, it's like the old BASF commercials. Remember those? We don't make the things you do in life. We make the things you do in life easier or better. Because if you consider the alternative, right? If the alternative is, hey, we don't call those penalties where you might happen to drop weight on a guy when you're tackling him. If Alex Smith was out for the year with a broken collarbone. If Mitchell Trubisky is out with a broken collarbone or with a broken rib. What's the reaction? Well, it's football. Sorry. Not buying it. The textbook has changed. Right? Textbook has changed. And this happens constantly in history. Who was our enemy is now our friend, and who is our friend is now our enemy. The way we look at wars has changed now that we have more information. If you're still using the same textbooks of 20 years ago, shame on you, not shame on that old textbook for being wrong. And the NFL is simply saying, hey, man, teams' entire seasons are wildly dependent upon their starting quarterback being upright. And if we have to fall, if we have to be on the side of being a little bit soft as opposed to being a little bit tough, we'll do that. You know why? Because last year was a disaster when we lost so many quarterbacks.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Stink, give me your sense for Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, obviously their defense is dynamic and getting after the passer, but what about quarterback play? Is it good enough for the Bears to get to the playoffs with?
As currently constructed, Doug, no. I mean, that's the short answer. But I think one of the things that they wanted to emphasize, you know, in talking to Matt Nagy, and he's just a really dynamic, there's some young dynamic coaches, Sean McVay, Matt Nagy, I was so impressed with him as well. And, you know, everybody wants to compare the player arc, if you will, of Patrick Mahomes to Mitchell Trubisky. And what Nagy had, you know, his whole comment on that, comparing those two, is understand that, one, that Patrick Mahomes had a year in that offense in Kansas City. He also had a mentor in Alex Smith that spent a ton of time with him, even though Alex Smith knew that eventually he was going to get usurped by Mahomes. He gave him the time. He really worked on the offense with Mahomes. And everybody else in that offense had been in it for 3, 4, 5 years. So you've got a completely new offense that, and with a young quarterback, and all the players this offense is new to. So it's going to take some time to progress. And, you know, I mean, it takes time as a player. You don't know what you don't like until you run it a couple times and like, man, I hate that particular call in that area of the field or in the red zone there. I hate, you know, getting in this formation. And until you run it and do it and have, you know, either success with it or failure in that case, you don't really know what you like and what you don't like. And so that's the learning curve that's going on right now. He's got to be better. They all know that. He knows that.
Rosen came in, couldn't lead him to a comeback, threw a pick late. What's your read on if they start Rosen week 4?
Oh, they're ready. They're ready to start him. And, you know, I think the thing that you look at in Arizona right now is there's mistakes aplenty. You know, there's across the line of scrimmage. There have been mistakes. There's been mistakes in blitz pickup. There's been mistakes in hot reads and things of that nature. But I think the biggest thing is Sam Bradford can't extend a play. If he is not protected, he has to throw it away. He can't, in the one play he tried to extend, Khalil Mack strip sack fumbled him, you know? So I think what they're looking at right now is we need somebody that can create off schedule. We need somebody that's dynamic enough to, when things break down, to scramble around, buy us some time, and see if we can shake somebody loose. So I think that's what they're looking for. And, you know, ultimately, I think they go in that direction. I think they name Rosen the starter. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Sam Bradford get released. And you know, they have Mike Glennon there as well. And Mike Glennon become the backup to Rosen. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all this week.
Mark Schlereth joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Just called the Bears win over the Arizona Cardinals yesterday on Fox. Here's what I said about the Clay Matthews hit, and there's been other hits of its kind. I understand that those are textbook ways to wrap up a quarterback and take him to the ground. But you have kids, I have younger kids, and a lot of kids don't even have textbooks anymore, right? Textbooks have changed, if they even have the textbook, the physical textbooks. The idea that what's been good the last 30 years is still good now, it's not. And the league has made a cognitive and very obvious choice to protect the quarterback above every other player on the field and either evolve or reap the punishment for it. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, I don't like it. I don't think anybody likes it. I think sometimes common sense prevails, you know. But that's the direction they've gone in. They're going to try to protect their assets. Come on, look at San Francisco right now. San Francisco lost Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know that, you know, it was on the sideline and it wasn't from a hit, but he's gone, and now, like, everybody in San Francisco is like, well, season's over. You know, we move on. And that's the way the league is constructed, especially with the way the salary caps are constructed now. So I get the point. I get the number one commodity. I get, you know, the franchise face. I get all those things. Do I like it? No, but it is the way it is. And you're right. You're going to have to adjust. There are some plays, though, I don't know how you adjust to them. You know, I don't know what the right answer is. I guess when you hit him, you've got to roll to the side and hope that your body lands first. I suppose that's the way you're going to have to do it from this point forward. But I think defensive coordinators, defensive coaches are going to have a discussion about this and you know, hit and twist, kind of like a rugby tackle, if you will. And they're going to have to adjust to that.
That'd be fascinating to see if that's the adjustment, because you can't, because anybody says, well, you can't just go take out their legs. You can't touch them from the knee or below. Can't touch them neck or above. It's a very small and evolving target area for the quarterback. Mark Schlereth joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I know you called your own game, and so you got to kind of catch your breath before you kind of start to break down other games. But the Patriots last night, forget their defense, right? People have made points about their defense. Their offense can't get going. You know, you double team Gronk, and there's no one who seems to be winning. Now, Josh Gordon, we would assume at some point in the near future will be playing, but are we willing to say maybe the Patriots are over? I mean, I feel very hesitant saying it, but boy, they were bad last night.
Yeah, they looked awful. And I think you're 100% right in your assessment. I would tell you the other thing. There's very few guys that ever were kind of the actuators of offense that played wide receiver. You know, I can point to Hines Ward was kind of the energizer, the actuator of the offense at Pittsburgh. Steve Smith in Baltimore and Carolina was kind of the attitude provider, you know, the guy that got them going, the guy that the offense kind of flowed through. Doesn't happen very often. In New England, it's unquestioned in my mind it's Julian Edelman. And when he does make his comeback after his suspension, I would expect things to settle down a little bit for that offense. But he is the guy that brings energy. He's the guy that brings attitude. He's the guy that's always, you know, picking a fight. He is that guy. And like I said, it doesn't happen very often from the receiver position. But you can see that offense misses the energizer that is Julian Edelman. When they get him back, I expect it to stabilize. One thing about New England is they've started off slow before. Maybe not this slow, but they've started off slow before. and figured out their role and their groove. I expect that to happen at some point, but I really think that Julian Edelman is going to be the key cog that gets them rolling on the offensive side of the ball once he returns.
Dallas Cowboys don't have much of an offense outside of Ezekiel Elliott. How much of this is on Dak? How much of this is their personnel?
Well, I mean, obviously their personnel, I think, is what you point to first. Dak hasn't played well, and you know, that's it. That's just a fact. But I think a lot of it can be pointed to the personnel, and I think a lot of it can be pointed to the issues they've had up front. You know, losing Travis Frederick to Guillaume-Barre syndrome. Zach Martin hurt his knee in preseason. He hasn't been the same. Rookie left guard. Smith, their left tackle.
Tyron Smith.
Flozell Adams, man. Yeah. That was a flashback to back of the day. But, you know, he's had chronic back issues. So that was really the one group they could count on to say, hey, let's just go out there and thunder punch somebody in the face and, you know, then we'll set our play action up. They don't have that key part of their offense right now. So it has just accentuated the fact that, you know, outside the numbers with the receivers, those guys haven't developed and they can't rely on, you know, let's just go ahead and control line of scrimmage. Let's go ahead and beat people up and then we'll figure it out along the way. So they've just kind of lost their identity in my mind.
Last thing, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. If you're coaching or you're in the front office of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, knowing that Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's had these hot streaks before, but generally the league starts to figure him out. You have Jameis Winston, who financially is your quarterback for this year and for next year. What do you do week four?
Tell me how Patrick Fitzpatrick plays tonight. Like, for me, if he continues to play the way he's played, and I think the thing that's been different for me, Doug, is, one, you know, we've seen him make mistakes in the past. He has been as accurate as any quarterback I have ever seen in the first 2 weeks with off-platform throws. When things break down, he can be scrambling to the right. He can throw one back across his body, you know, from a sidearm angle with a little flick of the wrist, and it is money. I mean, it is thrown into a milk carton. And those were the throws that used to get picked off. Right now, his accuracy is unearthly. It is crazy how many off-platform, on-target throws he has made to keep drives alive, to throw touchdowns, to make big plays. If he keeps throwing it like that, and they're awkward looking, go back and look at them. Just incredibly awkward. But he couldn't throw them. They are perfect dimes. So as long as he keeps doing that, he'll keep playing well. If he keeps playing well, there's no way you can go back to Jameis Winston, I don't think.
What do you do if you're Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell? You trade him?
Yeah, I think that writing is on the wall. You haven't negotiated. You haven't gotten anything done. You've got to get rid of him. See what you can get for him, whatever it is, and you move on.
Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champion. What do you got this week?
I have got Seattle at Arizona this week, so my Arizona run continues. Right, lucky
well,
me.
We'll see if we have we'll see if you get Rosen, and of course Seattle coming off their first win, but they may trade Earl Thomas. It's all kinds of mess there. So there'll be probably some breaking news in the coming days. Stink, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy a couple days at home.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
That's Stink, Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I was reading this. There's a scouting report here on Dak Prescott from when he came out of Mississippi State. A guy named Charlie Campbell. You can go online, check out his scouting report. Doesn't mean it's completely accurate. It says strengths, flashes pocket passing, flashes accuracy, flashes field vision, flashes anticipation. Throws a very catchable ball, capable arm, can make all the throws, good mobility, can pick up yards in the ground, has some pocket presence, good teammate, great teammate, experience against good competition, gritty, strong leadership skills. Weaknesses, inconsistent accuracy, inconsistent field vision, needs to get faster with his eyes, needs to learn about working under center, needs to develop for pro-style offense, college offense inflated stats, college offense ran a lot of plays he won't run in the NFL. He's inconsistent. Comparison, Donovan McNabb. That's a little strong. Some comparisons to Tim Tebow. Same offense that he ran, Dan Mullen. Same offense, right? If you're starting to date a guy and you're a woman and you ask your girlfriends and they're like, look, he's a good looking dude. But at some point he does take you for granted. He's narcissistic. He's good looking and he knows he's good looking and he's kind of a ladies' man. And the first three months, he's totally locked in. And then you start to realize that every conversation becomes about him. And then you start to realize that he does have a little bit of a wandering eye, that when you're at dinner with him, his phone does seem to light up with women's names, people texting him. And you start to wonder. Dak Prescott is exactly who you thought he was coming out of school. He's a slightly better version when he's surrounded by good players. He's a slightly better version because he's had 3 years of good experience in the National Football League. It's going to make anybody. You've been a starting quarterback for 3 years. You're going to be a better version of the guy you were previously. But Dak Prescott, to steal from Denny Green, is exactly who he thought he was. He's not great under center. He's not terribly accurate. He's got a strong but not a cannon for an arm. He's athletic, but he's not a freak. He's good, but he's not great. Cowboys haven't played a great schedule, and they're still just 1-2. Dak Prescott is exactly who we thought he was. Exactly who we thought he was. He's a good leader. He's got a good arm. He shows some flashes, but he's not consistent. He does not read the entire field. He does not process well enough to be considered an elite quarterback. Sometimes scouting reports are a little bit off. The scouting report for Dak Prescott seems to be accurate. Really good leader, pretty good quarterback, pretty good athlete, pretty good body, pretty good arm. Can be accurate, mostly inaccurate. Doesn't necessarily read and scan and pick up and throw guys open. And that's what he is with the Dallas Cowboys. He's exactly who he thought he was.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Peter Jacobson's our guest. He's a former PGA Tour player and Golf Channel analyst. He joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Peter, before we get to what we saw this entire weekend from Tiger and looking ahead to the Ryder Cup, just your honest thoughts early in the year when Tiger wasn't making cuts. And this is, remember, he had a year last year before the back surgery where he had the chipping yips and then he completely shuts it down. What were your reasonable thoughts on what we'd see from Tiger this golf season?
Well, first of all, I've got to say I'm a 2-time Greater Hartford Open champion, and I'm also the champion of the U.S. Open in the movie Tin Cup.
Yes.
So I got that going for me. Tiger, this comeback from Tiger is I think it's the sports story of the year. When we saw Tiger with the chipping yips, we saw him barely being able to walk upstairs, sit in a car, swing a golf club with such back pain that I really questioned whether he would be able to come back. And to see him now progress through the year, struggle through a lot of bad shots, try to figure out his new body, his new equipment, his new approach to the game, which is different. It's no longer power. He used to be the most powerful player on tour. He's no longer. That's Dustin Johnson and McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. But Tiger is a smarter player now. And if he wasn't 42, I might think that he's got another 10 tournament wins in him and possibly a couple of majors. He's gotten so smart at what he's doing. I think he's a better player now. He's a more intelligent player now than he was before. He beat everybody with just pure talent. He's still got that talent, but he's a smarter player. As you said, it was a remarkable performance and a comeback, and he almost won the entire FedEx Cup championship, and he did win the Tour championship. And boy, the people that were there on the grounds at Eastlake, as I was there sitting watching the show, it blew my mind. And it just goes to show you how, as they say, Tiger doesn't move the needle; he is the needle.
Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy. I mean, the big thing, driving accuracy. You know, his distance is not what it once was, but even that, he still has always struggled. You know, with the driver. You mentioned the changes he's made to his body. I mean, I think it was described to those of us, you know, weekend duffers as he's more smooth. But could you, you know, without the help of, you know, the visual learning tools in the Golf Channel, Peter Jacobson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, what's he changed with this swing?
Well, first of all, I think earlier this year when he was playing and coming back against the young kids, he's abandoned the aggressive, hard swing, trying to get that distance, trying to keep it up with Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy. What he's done now is he's got more rhythm and more tempo in his swing. Make no mistake, he's still as strong as an ox. He's in great shape, and he still hits the ball out there plenty of distance to win golf tournaments, even majors. But what he's done now is he's a more precise player, and I've always said that he's the best iron player in the game. I think he and Sergio Garcia from the fairway are two of the best players we've seen in a long, long time. But the first thing to do is to put it in the fairway, and we've seen Tiger struggle with that. We still see Mickelson struggle with putting the ball in the fairway. But once you put Tiger 200 yards in the fairway, nobody beats him. His short game is as good as anybody in the world, and the way that he's putting right now with his trusty old putter, I just see so many great things for him because he's over the hump. He's over the mental hump. He's over the physical hump, and I think he's looking downhill now, and he's pretty excited about it.
Now you get the Ryder Cup, and it's a no doubter that he's on the Ryder Cup team. What are your expectations for the Ryder Cup?
Well, back in the old days, Tiger was so fit and so strong and so intimidating that he played every match. There's five sessions. There's two on Friday, two on Saturday, and then the singles on Sunday. I would bet that Jim Furyk, who is 48 or 49 himself, he understands that when you get to your 40s, you don't have the energy and you don't have the strength you do when you're 20 or in your 30s. So I think Tiger will probably play three matches. He's certainly going to play the singles on Sunday. But I think you're going to see him one match on Friday and one match on Saturday because I think Furyk wants to help him conserve his energy for the singles on Sunday. I think Mickelson will do the same thing. Don't forget, this team is so strong and so powerful. As I mentioned earlier, guys like Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed and Tony Finau, these guys bomb it. So I think that they're going to be able to use their youth and their strength to hopefully overpower the European team in the early sessions, sprinkling in a little experience like Tiger and Phil the first 2 days and then letting them loose on Sunday.
You mentioned Brooks Koepka and some of the other younger, super talented players and how if it wasn't for the fact that Tiger was 42, you'd think he could win 10 more titles. Now, 42 now is not what 42 was 15, 20 years ago, and he's, of course, the picture of fit. He brought fitness really to the conversation atop every leaderboard in golf. But he's also created this kind of group of younger players that are also fit and are just younger and can bomb a golf ball. So what's a reasonable expectation for Tiger heading forward now that we've seen he could have won the Players, he did win the Tour Championship, and he's shown the ability to be more consistent than he's been in a long time?
He was the guy that ushered in fitness and training into the game of golf. I didn't do it in my era. Guys after me, Azinger, he didn't do it in his era, Faldo. But I think Tiger was the guy. I was still playing out there at the tail end of my career when Tiger first joined the tour. He was the guy that really brought this new generation, the guys that work out in the morning and they work out at night, the strength, the fitness, the distance, the power game. Tiger ushered it in. But I would say that let's not forget Tiger's had back surgery. He's also had knee surgery. So he's a 42-year-old. I think probably I would say he's maybe 35 or 36 physically.
Yep.
But don't forget the injuries are a thing he has to deal with.
It's going to be fascinating. It's so good for golf. I mean, it's good for any sport and good for anybody who says, you think they're done and they're not done. Look, you know way more about the history of golf than I do. Ben Hogan, the car accident, is that a greater comeback than we've seen from Tiger? Just kind of different because Tiger's comeback has been so public and because he was such a much bigger worldwide star.
Yeah, I think Hogan's was different because Hogan almost lost his life. He was almost killed in a car crash, where Tiger obviously has gone through some medical issues that we all go through. But for where Tiger has been to where he is now, back on the top of the world, I would quote the Who song, "Won't Get Fooled Again." Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Right now, I would say that everybody in the world would say that Tiger right now is in the top five, and he's been away from the game for so long, and he's just now coming back. So, yeah, watch out for Tiger. I think we can see more victories out of Tiger in the next 3 or 4 years, and maybe a major. I didn't think that was possible a year ago, but I'm a believer now.
Great stuff. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And look, the GHO was I mean, now it's at River Highlands. I've played that course. That's a fun course. My buddy Hunter Mahan won that once.
Yeah, Greater Hartford Open is the fifth major.
Yeah, it is the fifth. NBC sports analyst Peter Jacobson will be the tower reporter for the Golf Channel and NBC's live tournament coverage of the Ryder Cup this week, Friday through Sunday. Should be outstanding. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks a lot.